Tuesday the 17th of November, Lamed Maram Cheshvan, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Rabbi Yehuda Bulman, Tevilas Kalim.
Good morning, good Chodesh. It's an honor for me to be here. The concept of this year always amazes me. The fact that people can dedicate their time in the morning before they go out to work is also an amazing thing to me. So it's an honor for me. And I appreciate the time you're giving me to share with you some Divrei Torah. And I understood that if the previous one was supposed to be a Dvar Halacha, then this is not supposed to be a Dvar Halacha. But perhaps that is not the correct diuk that I was supposed to make. In any case, I will spend most of the time on the Halachic issue, but we'll try to deal with some of the Hashkafadik ideas as well. I also don't know all of the speakers you've had in the past, and I don't know if how recently Tevilas Kalim has been covered? Perhaps
never.
Okay, if it's been that long ago, then it's a shayla.
You remember it? So
you
know. Not recently.
All right. So what I'll do is the topic of Tevilas Kalim is quite a large topic, believe it or not, and it would take me several hours, which we don't have. I only have now 28 minutes left. So we'll do some background, and then maybe one or two or three specific shaylos that come up with Tevilas Kalim. The makor for Tevilas Kalim is a pasuk. Torah is discussing, and Parshas Matos is discussing, the war that Klal Yisrael had with Midian. The Midianim caused us to do all kinds of terrible things. The Baal Shem said we should take Nekama. We went out to war against them. We won the war. What happens when you win a war? You take the booty, you take the spoils. Among the spoils, there were all kinds of kelim, all kinds of utensils. So the Torah says, achas azov, besar kesef, besar nochosh, besar barzel, etc. It lists all kinds of metals, all of these things, kol dovar asher yovay ba'esh, tavir ba'esh, anything used, kol dovar asher yovay mayim, tavir ba'mayim, anything used in fire, pass through fire again. If it's something that you cook in, so it doesn't say the word cooking, but the implication is, what do you do with fire in your home? You cook. The kids, they had all kinds of household, kitchen utensils. What?
But you'd have to wash it as well. If it was clean.
Correct. So from that same parasha, that's the same parasha that we learn Tevilas Kalim, which is immersing Kalim in a mikveh for the first time. And you have Hagavas Kalim. That's one of the sources that we know that a food utensil absorbs the flavor of the item that was cooked in it, and you have to kasher it, you have to extract it too. Now the two topics, Tevilas Kalim and Hagavas Kalim, are really two separate issues. You could have one without the other, obviously. You could have a pot that became treif, and you have to kasher it, but it doesn't need Tevilas Kalim. You don't have to put it in the mikvah if it's your own pot. And it was already previously tevil. You don't have to put it in the mikvah again. Or, if you could have a kli that was never used before, it's a brand new kli. Doesn't need Hagavas Kalim, but it does need Tevila. It does need to be immersed in a mikvah. Which are the two separate issues, but it happens to be that we do learn it from the same parsha. The Torah doesn't tell us the idea behind it. So it's one of those things that you could say is a chayk, except that we do have several tamim that were given for the mitzvah. Apparently there's a Yerushalmi. I didn't see the Yerushalmi inside. I saw it in the Shem the Rosh, who said that it's Shema Asa'a Ketvilas. No, he says it's Kedei Sheyetze Mitumas Akum LeKedushas Yisrael, that it should go out of the Tuma of the non-Jewish state. How is that? What's the Tuma? It doesn't say. But there's some kind of Tuma that it has. And then, when you purchase it, and it transfers to the ownership of a Jew, it used to belong to a non-Jew, now it belongs to a Jew. That transfer, you have to do something to this kli. It doesn't explain why. What's the issues? So it has to transfer. The Kedusha changes somehow. There's a tshuva that is attributed to the Ramban, who says that Shema Asa'a Ketvilas Ger. Perhaps the Torah dictated that we do this, that it's similar in some way to the tevila that a ger, a non-Jew, wants to become a Jew. One of the things the ger has to do is to go to a mikvah. So says Ramban, an amazing thing. Not just does a goy go through a gerus, but the kelim that we buy, in some way, goes through a process of gerus. Which is a startling thing. What was up as a gerus of the kli? What was wrong with the kli before? And the kli is a kli. There's a piece in Choreh from a first Zichron Levracha, in which also he doesn't explain it that much. He just, in parenthetically, he discusses the issue of Tudas Kelim, in which he says that there's a concept that a Jew, the way a Jew eats, is not the way that an animal eats, for sure, and certainly not the way a guy would eat. A Jew should eat, it's Avodas Hashem. You eat breakfast, it should be Avodas Hashem. You eat lunch, it should be Avodas Hashem. The kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, if they had to do, Kabbalah Saddam, they needed to take the blood from the carbon and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. So, in the morning, we need a good name for a Kohen, let's say Aaron. That happens to be a good name for a Kohen. So that one morning, Rabbanan, our Kohen, is in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's doing Kabbalah Saddam, he's going to accept the blood from the carbon. He looks around, I need something to catch it in, so he grabs his paper cup. Of course not. No matter what kli it was, they had to be makdish, they had to consecrate the kli before they used it. You don't just stop use a kli in the Beis HaMikdash. So in that discussion, our first says that when you have a kli that all along always belonged to a Jew, it was made by a Jew, owned by a Jew, it never belonged to anybody else. He says, in his own terminology, but in effect he says, it has this kedusha, it bears this consecration by their designation. So he writes, that it has this kedusha automatically. A Jewish kli. A yid has a kli. What's it for? It's for Avodas Hashem. That's automatically what it's for. You don't have to do anything to it. But he says, if you have a kli that used to belong to a non-Jew, that's not necessarily for Avodas Hashem. Not by any stretch of the imagination. So, what are you going to do? So he says, you have to set it back, you have to set it back to its primary condition. What does that mean? Set it back to its primary condition. He says, i.e., immerse it in a mikvah. How is putting it in the mikvah setting it back to its primary condition? What he means is like this. How does the tevila of a ger work? Bechlal, how does tevila of a person work? If somebody's tummy and they go to a mikvah, what's it doing? We're taking a bath. What's it doing? So the Sfarim say that what a mikvah does, the first substance in the world, if you ask most people, what was the first thing in the world? They'll say light, maybe. I don't know what they'll say. But the Pasuk says, V'ruach Elohim merachefes apnei amoyim. That the Bishop's Ruach, whatever that means to us, was hovering over the water, which means, or implies, that the first thing around was water. So the first substance in the world, in Masa Bereshis, was actually water, believe it or not. When a person, or a kli, or anything that the chiyu, the obligation is to immerse in the mikvah, what we're saying is, what we're doing is, it's being immersed in the water, completely and totally, from all sides, inside and out. It connects to the water. It's as though it is ceasing to exist. It's going back. It's a way of putting it into some kind of a time machine. You're sending it all the way back to the beginning of Masa Bereshis. It's not in this world anymore. It's not in our time. It's not here. Then when it comes back out, when it comes out of the mikvah, it is being recreated anew. Oh, so here's our solution. We have a kli. It was not designated. It wasn't designated for Avodas Hashem. But we want to set it back, and we want to be makdishit, so to speak. We want to consecrate it from now on. So we put it into a mikvah. It goes back in time to the beginning of Masa Bereshis. We take it out of the mikvah, and now, because it's a Yiddish kli, I makdish it that this kli should be for avodas Hashem. Now this idea is only a tam for the mitzvah. Tamei mitzvahs doesn't mean that this is the reason, because you could catch me on what I just explained, and you'll say, doesn't apply to all cases. Not all kelim are chayav tvila, only kelim that are made out of metal or glass, as we'll see. So, what about earthenware, or what about plastic, or wood? Wood certainly is not chayav tvila. So again, this is just a tam for the reason, it's not the reason. Ultimately, why? Because the Rebbeinu Shlom said so. Which kelim are chayav? So before I get into which yes and which not, there you should just know the basic structure, the outline of things. There are three major issues in Tvilas Kelim. Three major issues. Before you can determine each one of these, you can't tell or decide whether or not a given object is chayav tvila or not. The first issue is the material. What's it made out of? The second issue is its function. What are you using it for? What will it be used for? Is it going to be used in the kitchen? Will it be used for food, not food? What kind of use? That's the second issue, is function. And the third issue is ownership. Who used to own it? Who owns it now? Who will own it? That's not nega to you. But who used to own it or who owns it now is a major issue. So those are the three areas. Let's start with the first one. The first issue is the material. What does the Torah say about it? So I said in passing that the Torah only lists metals. It mentions gold, silver, copper, tin, six types of metals. So the only things that are chayav midaraisa are metals. It happens to be that there is a machlekes apaiskim whether or not Tvilas Kelim is midaraisa or midarabanan. But the accepted halacha is that it is midaraisa. What difference does it make to us if it's midaraisa or midarabanan? Very simple. If you're not sure if a kli is chayav or not, so because we say it's a daraisa, if you're not sure if a kli is chayav or not, so take it to the mikvah. Don't make a bracha, because if you're not sure, then it might be bracha levatala. Safik bracha is lahakel. So you take it to the mikvah without a bracha. Which materials are definitely not chayav tvila? Yes. Well, plastic actually, there's a shayla involved, but wood. Wood is for sure not. Stone, if you had a piece, let's say somebody carved out a bowl out of marble, solid piece of marble, it's not chayav tvila. So wood, marble, it's for sure not chayav tvila. Glass is not a metal. Except that the Gemara says, Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that Hanei Kli Zchuchis, kelim made out of glass, since if they were to break, you could melt it down and reshape it, it's similar to metal. In other words, to Gzeir Midrabanan, because of its similarity to metal, that you are supposed to toivel it. So in fact, we are obligated to toivel kelim made out of glass, and with a bracha, because once it's a derabanan, it's a chiyuv like everything else. So we're holding it's in yana. This I could throw in yana diyama. We're holding almost. It's going to be Chanukah. We say asher kedushanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu ladik ner shachanukah. So Gemara says heichan tzivanu, tzivanu, because it says loisasri. You have to listen to Chazal. Chazal told us to do it, so we say we do it. So there's a mitzvah a derabanan to tevel kelim, to tevel glass. You say it with a bracha, yeah. Except keep in mind that in this case, it's for sure a derabanan. This case, glass, is certainly a derabanan. So if you're not sure, I would still tell you that the practical halacha is that, yes, you do it even misafik, if let's say you're not sure if it was toiveled or not. So you do it anyway because it's not such a difficult thing to toivel in any case. But we'll see if I get to it, if I have time, There is one situation where the contemporary, not so contemporary, where the more current poskim do distinguish between metal and glass. Right. But so plastic I'll get to in one moment. I'll say it now. Let's talk about plastic now. Now, plastic is an interesting thing. Plastic didn't exist in the time of Chazal. But if we use the logic, if you will, that Chazal had about metal, what was the logic by metal? That since by glass, since if it were to break, you could melt it down and reshape it so it's similar to metal. Well, plastic is the same thing. That's called recycling. You melt it down and reshape it wherever you want. So I could melt it and reshape it. So I think there's one or two poskim out there that said that plastic is a material that is chayav midrabana. They say it's similar to glass. So two things I have to point out about that before I go any further. First of all, we're not talking about a disposable plastic cup. Don't get all worried about your disposable plastic cups. Things that are going to be thrown out, that I would like to talk about today. I hope I have time. We're talking about something durable, something that is a thick plastic, something that is a reusable plastic thing, a Tupperware container, it's just thick, durable plastic. However, the overwhelming majority of poskim say that plasticware is not chayev tvila. Why not? It should be like glass, which is like metal. So they say as follows, and this is a... There's an idea in halacha about this that we need to hear as well. They say as follows. It could very well be that if plastic had existed in the time of Chazal, perhaps they would have made a gzeira about plastic. But it didn't exist then. So they didn't make a gzeira about it. So since they didn't make a gzeira about it, it's not our job to add things to their list. That's the bottom line of what they say. Now you'll ask, we're thinking to yourselves, what does that mean? There's all kinds of things that didn't exist in the time of Chazal, and we reapply it. A simple thing, light on the Shabbos. No from it turns on a light on Shabbos. They didn't have electricity then, but it was the job of the generation where electrical devices developed. It was their job to come up with, how do we treat this thing? And they said that either it's similar to Eish, Malach it's Havara, it's lighting fire on Shabbos, or they said, Chazanish said, it's making a circuit, you're closing a circuit, which is Boina, you're building something. So you see, all the time, there's all kinds of new developments, and that is a job. That is what a posik is supposed to do. They're supposed to be Medame Milsa Lemilsa, compare one thing to another thing, and come up with a practical halacha. So what does it mean they didn't have it back then, so therefore we don't do it? So no, tell us, what is it like? So the difference is very simple. The difference is, if this is the same idea, or the same, not the idea, if it's the same substance, but just in a different form, then we would be Madame Nosa Nosa. I'll do it with an example, you'll hear it better. If there was a new type of glass that was invented today, it's made similar, except there's certain differences, but it's a type of glass, and everyone describes that this is a type of glass. Alright, so this is a type of glass, which is what Chazal were talking about. And it's the same halacha. And there is such a thing. There's Pyrex, I don't know what other types of Corningware, ceramic, I forgot to talk about. Ceramic is an interesting thing. Pyrex, I think, and Corel, some other types of, new types of glass. So it's the same thing. When the poskim say, let's say, and there's also a difference between a drabana and a daraisa, are you adding to a gezeira, or is this the same thing? When the poskim say, turning on a light switch on Shabbos, it is Eish, or it is Bonek. They're not saying, we're adding to it. We think it should be the same thing. They're saying, this is the same thing. Turning on an incandescent bulb on Shabbos is Eish. It is Havara. It's not that we are making it up and we're comparing it to that thing.
We're saying this is the same item.
No one says that plastic is glass.
That wasn't the question. The question was, should we add it to the list of Chazal?
Who are we to add to Chazal's list? Only they have the authority to do it. So they, if they said it, they did. If they didn't, they didn't.
So practice, for all Lamaisa, plasticware is not Chayav Tvila. I believe that there are some individuals who are machmir on themselves that they do type of plasticware. But you should know that it should certainly be without a bracha. Because the overwhelming majority of people say it's not Chayav Tvila. Earthenware, let's say ceramic.
What do you mean disposable cup? Disposable.
Disposable, everyone says it's not.
It's not tinfoil container.
So that, well, I have 10 minutes left, we'll see. That's what I wanted to talk about, but I decided to give all the time. But ceramic is like this. Earthenware itself is not metal. It's not metal. And it's not glass. So earthenware is not chayav tvila, according to everybody. The only shaila is if it's glazed in some way. So, again, for lack of time, china, the reason porcelain is called china is because it originated in the country of China. The Europeans, when they got their hands on some of it and wanted some, but it was too expensive, they made imitations. So they took earthenware, they took ceramic, or ordinary ceramic, and then to get it to shine, they coated it with a glaze. And that glaze is made to substance that's very similar to glass. And that created a whole tumult amongst the Paiskim of the day. How do we view this thing? It has a glaze. It has a coating of glass on top of it. And the Gemara says that if you had an earthenware kli coated inside and out with metal, it's chayav tvila. So perhaps this also, it's coated with glass, inside and out. Glass is a material that's chayav tvila, so I shouldn't have to do it. So some poskim said, yes, it's chayav tvila. Now that it's coated with glass, and glass is a material that's chayav, so I have to tell you, it's fake porcelain as well. But other poskim said, no, because it's not the same. Chazal said that glass is chayav because if it breaks, you can melt it down and reshape it. But not this material. The stuff that they use to coat plates, cups, and saucers, if it breaks, you can't melt it down and fix it. It's different. So they said it's not chayav tvila. From that, the custom became that if you have china, if you have porcelain, that you take it to the mikvah, but without a bracha. I don't know what the situation is today. I did a little bit of research about it, but I never got any clarity. What is the glaze that's used nowadays on dishes? So I'm not going to tell you halacha lemaisa what to do about porcelain. I think you should ask your local Rav what he recommends about porcelain. But also, certainly without a bracha. Alright, so that's... Oh, well, one more thing is aluminum. Aluminum, although it's not mentioned in the pasuk, is a type of metal. That is also a discussion about is it midaraisa or midarabanan. It would be an interesting dirabanan because, again, aluminum didn't exist then. But practically speaking, the minhag is that yes, we do tovel aluminum. Again, I'm not talking about disposable. I'm talking about a thick, durable, reusable aluminum pot, let's say. That the minhag is that we do tovel it, and I believe even with a bracha.
Silver.
What? Silver we'll talk about soon. That is not disposable.
Aluminium.
Right, aluminum, but right. Yeah. So disposable, well, I think I can do it. What? You know what? I'll do it like this. I was going to discuss those types of shilas, disposable and other things at the end, but maybe I'll do it now, and then I'll see how much time I have left. There are a few things that come up. Let's say disposable pans. You buy a pan for baking a cake, let's say, and you're going to use it once, and then you're going to throw it away. Is such a kli chayav tvila or not? The consensus is that if you're only going to use it once, we'll do one thing at a time. If you're only going to use it once and then discard it, that you do not have to tovel it. It's not chayav tvila. Why not? So the Peskim give two different reasons. One reason is, it's a tashmish arai. It's a temporary use. And therefore, it's not a kli tashmish. It is not a kli that has a real function to it. Now, the words sound like gibberish. I have to explain it to you a little bit, what they're talking about. Before that, there's a critical point that we need to hear. There is a common misconception. I don't know about here in your communities, but in the Welt, there's a very common misconception that if you have a kli that does need tefillah, but you're in a very tight situation. You just purchased it, and it's Erev Shabbos, and what are you supposed to do? You don't have time to go take it to the mikvah. Many people believe, incorrectly, that you're allowed to use it once.
And then
throw it away. And throw it away, but they don't. They think that it's a one-time allowance. Shasat Chak, you could use it once. It's a mistake. It's not true. The Rama says beferish. It's in your day, in the halachas of Tulaskei, it says beferish. Even tashmish arai, even a temporary use, doesn't help you. You're not allowed to use it even once. If it's chayev, it's chayev, and you have to do it even before the first use. Where did the mistake come from? I'll tell you where the mistake came from. I believe, anyway. The mistake came from a completely different situation. The situation was, you had a kli that was not a kli su'una. It wasn't a kli that needed tefila. You had a metal, for example, a metal letter opener. Do you know what that is? It looks like a long blade, and you use it to slice open envelopes. So, that's not a kli that's chayav tefila. Only kli su'uda are chayav tefila. Only kelim used for food is chayav tefila. So here, imagine this funny situation. A fellow has a metal letter opener, and he says to himself, "Oy vey, I don't have a clean knife to smear my butter on my baguette." So he grabs his metal letter opener and he cuts open his baguette and he smears the butter on his baguette. In that case, the letter opener is not chayav tefila. But not because it's a one-time use, but because it's not chayav tefila, it's not a kli su'uda in that situation. The fact that using it once, randomly, shows that it's not a kli su'uda. But it's not because a kli that's chayav tefila you have a one-time allowance. There is no such thing. Now, what we're talking about, though, over here, in the disposable case, is that the whole pan, is flimsy. It's something that is so temporary that we don't consider it a real kli. It's a funny thing, but that's how the Peskim can describe
it. Even if you decide to use it a few times.
So, well, that complicates matters, right? So that we'll have to get to. But if you have a one-time use, certainly, and then you're going to throw it out, so it's a tashmish arai, and they say that's not a real kind of a kli. Another way of looking at it is they compare it to an interesting case. Not all objects in the world can be mekabel tuma. This is a digression, so you should understand what they're talking about. Not all kelim in the world can become tame. A rock outside can't be mekabel tuma. Food could become tame. A utensil could become tame. People could become tame. But not every object in the world. The Rambam paskens, the Rambam writes in the Choskelim that a horn from an animal is not mekabel tuma. It's a disposable item. People, maybe they use it once, twice. It's disposable and then they throw it away. The Rambam says it's not mekabel tuma. They could drink out of it. I don't know
babies
what they'll do.
Used to drink out of
babies, she, okay.
The old days,
really? No, that's interesting. It was worth coming all the way here just to find it out. So the Rambam says it's not mekabel tuma. So what does that have to do with us? We're not talking about tuma. Here we're talking about tefillas kelim. So the Peskim say, but there's something we can learn from there. You see that something disposable is not a kli. Because if it was a kli, it would become tame. That's the idea. Anything disposable is not a kli. So one way of looking at it is that it's not a chash of a kli, it's not a kli su'uda. Another way of looking at it is, bechlal, it's not a kli altogether. So it's not chayav tefila. So disposable pans, if you're only going to use it once, and then throw it away, it's not chayav tefila. Everyone says it. When does it get complicated? If you're going to use it 2-3
times, etc.
I don't have time to go into all the cases, but they're different paiska. Some say even twice already, it's chayiv tefillah. Some paiskim say no. If you're going to use it 3 times, a minimum of 3 times, that shows that for you it's something you're planning on keeping, and you have to tovel it. Now, according to them, if you know in advance that you'll be doing this, you have to do it even before the first use, because
you don't know the oil and holes that it's not going.
Right. I'm not telling you that this is the... Wait, let me just clarify. I'm not saying that this is what you should do. I'm telling you there are different paiskim. I'm just thinking more of the tzibur, that you should know. Some paiskim say, doesn't matter how many times you use it. You could use it 10 times, because what you're really doing is you're saying to yourself, I'll use it this time. And then you finish, oh, look at that, it's in good shape. I use it nachamal, I'll use it again. Oh, amazing, it's still good, I use it nachamal. So there are some places that say it doesn't matter how many times you're going to use it, it's still a disposable thing.
You've got a container, but you use it continuously for a few days until you finish with
the job. So that I think is included in the, that everyone would say is one time, yeah. You bake a cake and it takes you a few days, halavai, it takes you a few days to finish the cake, right? So it's pater from tefillah. But once it's more than 2 already, that's when the fun begins. My time is up, so I'm going to end here. I'll have to come back and do another few rounds of this. Good day.